Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everybody, to another episode of Agents of Mace, and today we are kind of in that limbo in between movies and new series, so we are going to take a step back in time and then forward in time a little bit in the sense of the way that these were released, but we're going to be doing the, I guess they call them the Defenders Saga?
Defenders Saga, yeah.
So we know that Daredevil came first. But we're going to save Daredevil until we get a little bit closer to the new release of Daredevil. So we're going to start with Jessica Jones. We're going to start off episode by episode. So like each of our episodes will be one episode of the show. But if we get to a point where we're too excited to talk about multiple episodes, we may double up every now and then. But start with episode one. I forgot how gritty these series were compared to everything else Marvel. I mean, even when you think about watching, like, man, even like Multiverse of Madness, where it's like a little bit darker and a little bit grittier, it's still like nowhere near these Netflix series.
No. Especially with Jessica Jones, like, as I was watching this, for listeners out there, if you watch things outside of the MCU, I've been revisiting the Showtime series Shameless. Jessica Jones is basically like the Shameless of the MCU. It almost made me wonder if Emma Rossum was like in line to be Jessica Jones, because it almost, you know,
right?
She probably could have like portrayed the character as well, I think. And yep. There's just a lot of moments, which I think, Kristen Ritter.
Yeah.
I think she's fantastic.
Oh yeah.
And I hope she continues doing Jessica Jones in future projects. Mm-hmm. But you're 100% right. Revisiting episode one, forget how gritty it is. Forget how more on the mature side it is.
Mm-hmm. And in the first episode, like it doesn't build up to a gritty moment. It's like something crazy happens at the end of the first episode where you're like, oh wow. Okay. Like this took a turn.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I forgot how much I like the intro and the music.
Oh yeah.
Cause I'm big on like this whole like detective series, like True Detective. What's the other one on HBO? I can't remember. Perry. like all of that kind of stuff I really enjoy. So like this is just right up my alley.
Well, these like all five, I guess, of these six, six of these series, all have really cool opens. Mm-hmm. We like the Daredevil one is a little bit more like James Bondy. This one's a little bit more like, you know, spy agency detective. But still kind of has like they all have just such cool, epic open sequences. Oh, yeah. Even, you know, we'll get to it and we'll watch it. But even Iron Fist, like the Iron Fist open, I thought
I never watched any Iron Fist, so I will watch it. I'll watch it for you, the listeners. The listeners, I got you. I will watch it. Since we're still on intros, I guess my last note there is I will say I am on the side. If Charlie Cox ever wanted to do an official MCU Daredevil movie, they better be doing that same intro as a series.
Oh, yeah.
I love 100%. That intro so much. I'm very curious to see what they're going to do with this upcoming series. I would expect it's going to be different, but maybe potentially have a nod to this initial one because the fans love it so much.
I hope so. I mean, I feel like his whole character is a nod to the Netflix series, if we think about it. So hopefully they do kind of.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about kind of like, what are they doing with that? Is any of that going to like carry over into this other than the characters? So it'll be interesting moving forward for sure. Speaking of intros, at the beginning of this episode, a cool little Easter egg and just fun moment for comic book readers. The opening sequence where Jessica Jones throws the guy through her door, that is actually like shot for shot, frame for frame, the opening of the Jessica Jones comic series. So I thought that was really cool that they opened it exactly the same.
Yeah. They got to do more of that. So much of these Netflix series, from what I, at least everything that I've watched, has just been so fun to watch and so incredible. I hope they'll keep doing that. But yeah, a lot of moments in this are just like, this whole episode feels like a comic book.
Yes.
Just from when she's like, packs her bag and she's sitting like on the, you know, because we're still like basically in Hell's Kitchen, right? So
right.
Just sitting out there on the balcony, whatever you want to call it, fire escape, just kind of with her camera. Like all of that's just like Detective comic style.
Oh, yeah. And they use a lot of comic book colors to portray. Stuff.
Which we'll definitely get into this more because this leans more into the main villain of this. Because I don't know. This probably is. I'm trying not to get into spoilers because I actually have not completed Jessica Jones. I made it all the way up until like I think like episode 9 or 10 of season 1, and then stopped there. So I haven't finished what they did, but I know some about the main villain in the comics and the color, and you see so much of that in episode 1, which is basically this purple, like that's kind of like his supposed to be his skin color, correct?
I was gonna bring that up. What are your thoughts on that? Because I know, you know, over the last probably 5 years, I think the MCU has started to push more for comic accurate.
So that's the thing I don't want to necessarily spoil per se, is because I was like, you know, getting a few episodes in and understanding these characters and comparing to what it is in the comics. I was like, well, isn't he supposed to have like this purple like skin tone? And I was like, well, maybe at some point something will happen and he'll be purple. But, you know, he kind of like, I think at one point he kind of dons like basically a purple suit, and that's kind of like his thing. And I was kind of just figuring, well, that's probably going to be it. He probably just wears a purple suit and that's what we get.
Well, if we were to get him in purple, like purple skin, would you be okay with that? Or do you like the kind of more realistic take on the character?
Well, and that's a good point, because this is one of those series, especially being on Netflix, that we're basically getting into the world of mutants. There's this very specific moment with an interaction between Jessica Jones and someone that she's after that's essentially setting it up like, I know what you are. Basically, you're a mutant. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to get away from me. And it's just like, if we're going to do that, let's just embrace it. Mm-hmm. Let's just go all, like, I want more of that instead of just the little teases.
Right. I honestly didn't remember a whole lot about this show. And it is funny because I think maybe 4 months ago, completely unrelated to the podcast or like the future of potentially watching Jessica Jones again or anything, I read some Jessica Jones detective comic series, mm-hmm. and Kilgrave is in it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's not just like purple hue, like purple skin. It's like bright purple. Like, yeah. And so I was like, oh, that's right, man. So seeing how the MCU has like taken some more comic accurate looks and like brought them to the screen and to these characters that originally they were trying to like keep a little bit more based in reality, if that is the term to use here. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that maybe if we get Kilgrave again, maybe it is a little bit more comic accurate Kilgravey as opposed to what we're getting so far in the series, which is just mm-hmm. just a guy,
yeah,
with these abilities. But color plays in a lot to the series. There's a couple times in this first episode where Jessica has like flashbacks, mm-hmm. sort of like she doesn't like, you know, we don't see a memory, it's just yeah. her, but like Kilgrave is there, but he's mm-hmm. not really there because he's really just in her mind. But it's really interesting because like right before we see him, something turns purple, whether mm-hmm. it's like there's like a blue neon sign outside that then all of mm-hmm. a sudden shifts to purple. And then we mm-hmm. see his face come in, or she's laying on the desk and all of a sudden all the light turns purple and he yeah. comes in and very creepy. We mm-hmm. never like, we never see his whole body. We just see his head kind of like punch into frame. And at one point mm-hmm. he licks her cheek, which is gross.
I feel like he did that twice. Maybe it was just once, but yeah.
Yeah,
he's an interesting character.
Yeah, it's I've just, you know, again, a little bit darker, a little bit mm-hmm. more unsettling. If we get Defenders again, which like I know maybe that's where we're heading with this like Daredevil show. I don't know, yeah. But if we get Defenders again, I do hope that they keep it this kind of a little bit more dark, a little bit more detective-y slash,
yeah,
like, I don't know, not small, but well, like, and that's we don't need to do. Fight like a world ending villain every
yeah thing. I do enjoy like essentially what they've kind of already stated, like ground level, mm-hmm. like the ground level heroes generally kind of go more into that detective realm,
right?
I mean, it's everything from just your basic like bank robbery, whatever's to like something bad's happening, but it's kind of like in some secret organization and you got to figure out like what's going on.
Right. Yeah. I'm hoping that if we do get Defenders again, maybe it does lean a little bit more towards what they did with the Netflix series where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, the Hand is the bad guy.
Yeah,
like it's this criminal organization that's like not really doing yeah. anything in the greater MCU right now. But sure. like that could be.
And I feel like we got a little bit of that like in Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if they yeah. want to keep that and elevate it.
Right.
I'm all for it.
Right. Well, and especially because like, yeah, in Hawkeye, we also got Kingpin showing yeah. back up again. So,
yeah, I would expect, you know, Kingpin's going to be the big role there, the big bad in terms of like our ground level superheroes.
Mm-hmm. And I want more ground level superheroes. I feel like,
yeah.
you know, they just ended a phase and then they're just starting a new phase and like immediately starting it with like a big villain again.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, we've talked about, are they going to introduce him in this movie, but he's not necessarily the big villain in this movie and he'll be the big villain of the phase, which like fine, but then I feel like it may be weird for them to put in these like ground level heroes fighting other villains that like have nothing to do with this. So I don't know, I kind of, not that I want like Monster of the Week movies for Marvel, yeah, yeah. but I yeah. would like them to maybe parse out some of their lower tier, more specific villains and pair them up with their groups that would fight them. Mm-hmm. And then they can just have like, okay, these are fighting here, these are fighting here, these are fighting here. And then maybe it builds up, and then at the end of the phase, oh, we get a big bad that they all need to come together to fight or something.
Yeah.
I guess we'll
find out. So looking into Kilgrave, I guess he first appeared in Daredevil, which is interesting. So I wonder if they'll bring him in with the upcoming Daredevil series.
In one of the series that I read, which may not have even been Jessica Jones, I think it was an X-Men series, Kilgrave actually has two kids that also have his power.
Oh, wow.
And I don't remember. There's like somebody was trying to like kidnap them, to like trap them and force them to use their power, and the new X-Men had to rescue them. So, I mean, I guess spoiler, but not really a spoiler, but it's like his kids don't ever show up in this or ever get mentioned in this. So it is potential that we could have a new, or maybe the same, maybe they're just going to keep the cast from this stuff, whatever. But we could get a Kilgrave in the current MCU, I guess. It is weird because I remember these series coming out and like, they sort of did that that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, came out of the gate pretty strong in trying to make it seem like they were related to what was going on in the MCU. Mm-hmm. But not at the same time, you know? We get, like, some crossover characters. Like, we've seen Foggy. We've seen Jerry Hogarth in, like, movies, MCU movies. So now we've seen them again in some of these series. So it's like, okay, they're canon, but then they weren't canon, and now they kind of are canon again. So yeah, it's very confusing to think about, like, what of this could potentially move forward. Yeah. It's also funny, like, rewatching these and having to remember that, like, this came out and, like, we weren't really sure what was next. But, like, you know, maybe they're going to do Luke Cage. Maybe they're going to do Iron Fist. Are they going to do Defenders, or is this?
Well, you don't just get Jessica Jones in episode one. You're also getting Luke Cage. And,
right.
You know, I don't even think we actually hear his name in episode one. It's just more so of, like, you know, she just has noticed him. It's more so of a romantic attraction of, like, right. But you know, they definitely have their moment together where it's like, clearly they're both superhuman, and it feels like they kind of know it, but they don't really address it head on.
Right. Like, they don't want to say it out loud, but like,
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, I guess that's like the first big Marvel sex scene too.
Yeah.
I don't know that happened prior to this series. And since it's happened like a couple times, but it's just another way to show that, like, yeah, this is a little bit more mature than like your average. I mean, it's even like some of the
Adult Swim of
yeah.
It's almost like now, I guess you'd say it's the Adult Swim of Disney Plus.
right. Yeah, or like, yeah, HBO somehow got the rights to make a Netflix series, and
right, yeah,
they were like, because it's like dark.
You've got those elements of it, but then you also have like, she just drinks,
constantly
all the time.
Yes.
Throws, you know, and that's where
dealing with like depression and like,
oh yeah, there's like depression, the PTSD. Mm-hmm. It's just, and that's why I kind of reference like the Shameless, like her, you know, she works out of an apartment, her door's busted, no window, but just doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. So, when they like really drive home the point that her door is broken.
Oh yeah.
It's very foreshadowy for the whole series that you should be like on the edge of your seat because someone could just walk into her apartment.
Yeah.
We do get that too in this episode. Her neighbor, her kind of weird, sketchy neighbor, walks into her apartment. It's interesting that she runs this detective agency sort of, but really she's more freelance, it seems like, for Jerry Hogarth's company.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I actually saw that people were very excited about when this show came out, because they thought that this was going to lead right into Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a whole lot about Iron Fist. I don't know a whole lot about, it's actually Jaren Hogarth in the comics. So I don't know what the connection there is, but apparently everyone is very excited that we got to see Jerry Hogarth because they thought it was going to lead to Iron Fist, which eventually, you know, yes, we do get Iron Fist and we get Defenders, but I also saw that her freelance with Hogarth is kind of like a nod to the comics. She, in the comics, she's freelance for J. Jonah Jameson. But clearly this was pre any sort of crossover.
So what if in the Daredevil series they go comic accurate there in the Born Again series? That would be interesting.
But will they have the rights to Spider-Man back then?
Oh, that's true.
I want to know how that works. Like, what characters do they actually not have the rights to?
Yeah.
Is it just Spider-Man and Venom and like a handful of villains?
Yeah.
Is J. Jonah Jameson one of them? Like, are we not allowed to use him in Marvel stuff?
I don't know. I'm curious now.
It'd be a good way to, like, introduce maybe even both of those characters, right? Like, we meet Jessica Jones in J. Jonah Jameson's office.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And who knows? It's one of those things of, like, maybe they'll let him... They can use the voice. You'll never see him. You just hear him in the office yelling.
Right. Right. Yeah. That'd
be fun. But I mean, it's such an icon. Like, he's perfect for that role. So we got to see him.
Right.
Oh, it's just the wants and wishes of Marvel.
Just get your rights back and then hold on to them. Don't ever let them go. We do get the first glimpse of Jessica's super strength in this episode where she lifts up a car, sort of, not like completely picks it up, but she just lifts it up off the ground. And this is that moment. Basically
does that and then just like holds her finger on the door like you're never like.
And this is that moment where it feels a little bit like normal people are scared of superpowered people.
It
ties a little bit into the whole like mutant thing, but also this is like
it could just
during Civil War, pre-Civil War potentially. So I think that this was again like this was that weird thing where they were trying to make some sort of connection between this and the MCU, and like it was supposed to show that like people are a little nervous around heroes, and so heroes need to be registered. And then you get straight into Civil War, the Registration Act. So,
you just get that classic line, like, you're one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what's unfortunate is, like, them could mean superhero people. Or, but it feels like, come on, just say you're a mutant.
Right, like, right. Just lean into it. We all know it. We want it. So, I mean, maybe, you know, again, we still don't really know how mutants are going to be introduced. If they're going to come from somewhere else, some other dimension, or they've been here all along and we're just going to find out about them through some event. But I wonder, like, who will be classified then as mutant versus superhero.
Sure.
Because, like, you know, Luke Cage technically, like, got his powers from a, like, experiment. Mm-hmm. So, like, not really a mutant, but maybe.
Again, I never finished Luke Cage. I don't know if they go into that stuff. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Speaking of Luke Cage, Mike Coulter, I'm pretty sure Kristen Ritter signed on. She's coming back as Jessica Jones for Born Again.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm pretty sure that they did announce that. But I don't think I've seen anything if Mike Coulter's coming back to continue being Luke Cage. Side note, if you got free time, go watch Plane. It's actually really fun, and he's really good in it.
Trailer looks good.
It's one of those, like, probably, like, surprises of the year.
I'm excited.
Off topic, but not, because it's Mike Coulter, and, you know, it's like, well, where's he been? What's he been up to?
Yeah, well, he does this so that then he can jump right back into Luke Cage. So,
yeah.
Hopefully. Speaking of Luke Cage, we find out that Luke works at the bar. And I don't, again, it's been like a while since I watched these. I mean, I watched these like when they came out and as they came out. So, what was that, like
2015?
Yeah.
Oh, I think around there.
Yeah.
So, long time ago.
So I don't really remember everything about them, and I want to know where this plays into the timeline of Luke Cage's story, because I know in, like, Luke Cage, maybe season one, we kind of, like, see him go through getting his powers and then becoming, like, the hero of Harlem, and I don't I just want to know, like, where does this fit? Like, him working at this bar, like, shouldn't he be out there being?
I feel like I kind of remember it, but again, it's been so long. Like, we'll know. We will know soon.
Yeah, we'll get there. It's fun. It's like we're watching it for the first time again.
Exactly.
So we find out about Hope, who's a girl who didn't go missing necessarily, but she's been acting strangely. This is super fun because it's very, very long before. But the girl who plays Hope is Erin Moriarty, who is Starlight in the Boys series on HBO. And it's fitting that she's in this gritty, dark superhero show and then becomes basically a co-lead in another gritty, dark superhero show. It was really funny though, because at first I was like, she looks familiar, and I was trying to think of, like, what she was in.
I know, I was the same way. Yeah.
And then I was like, maybe she's like is she the girl from iZombie? But, like, just without the makeup. And then I was like, no, that's not her. Who is this? And I had to, like, look it up, and then I was like, it's Starlight. Like, that's crazy. But her storyline in this is real dark. Parents come looking for her, get Jessica's help. Jessica goes and rescues her. Everybody should have known, because as she's walking to the elevator with her parents, she has a purple bag. And as we know, purple means nothing good in this series. And she gets into the elevator, and then she pulls out a gun as the elevator door closes and shoots both of her parents, which, wow, wasn't expecting that. They lead you to believe that, like, the episode is going to end with some sort of, like, bright side to it.
Nope.
And it does not.
And then it gets creepier after that, because she just looks at Jessica and because at that point it's Kilgrave in control and just tells Jessica, like, put on a smile. I mean, that's just like Joker level from, you know, DC, like, creepy, like.
And Kilgrave does have, like, a very Joker-esque vibe. Yeah. Like, he's very, very creepy. His, like, power is basically manipulation. He just, like, makes you do whatever he wants you to do.
Yeah.
And, like, this is only the beginning. So,
oh yeah,
we have a whole season of watching him get increasingly creepier and more powerful. Go ahead.
Played by David Tennant, and I thought that was like solid casting.
Oh yeah. He plays the role so well. Yeah. I honestly, these Netflix Marvel series, I feel like casting was on point, directing was on point, writing was on point. I'll give it to, you know, the fans. I agree, but not as strongly as most people do, that of these series, Iron Fist was probably the weakest.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like I don't think Iron Fist is like terrible, like many people do. But even Iron Fist, like, great. I feel like the story's there. I feel like the like direction is there. The acting could use a little tweaking, but like, I mean, he wants to come back and play Iron Fist again. Give him another shot. Yeah, this was maybe a completely separate thing, so.
Yeah, maybe he's taking in all the feedback and he's like, I can do better.
Right. So, yeah, that's episode one of Jessica Jones. And it only gets crazier from here. This is a little bit different, too, if you are a Marvel fan and you haven't watched these series. They are just different in tone overall from mm-hmm. the movies. I know a lot of people that like take their kids to see Marvel movies. Probably not a great idea for these series.
No.
They are a little bit more adult, mature, mm-hmm. Definitely darker, definitely talk about, like, I mean, real issues.
Traumatizing stuff.
Yeah, like. Yeah.
I mean, dealing with someone that's manipulating people, like, you don't know what you're going to get.
Oh, yeah. And that's like we just watched White Lotus, like, week mm-hmm. before last. We watched, like, both seasons.
Fantastic show, by the way.
Oh, it's
really
so good.
But
very uneasy. Like, yeah. It just makes you feel uncomfortable the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of these series, but Jessica Jones season one especially, you feel uneasy the whole time, and they do a really good job of keeping you in that uneasy feeling by, like, every time you start to think that, like, oh, okay, she's going to be a superhero and she's going to rescue people. They, like, hit you with something from her past, or like the hope thing with her parents happens.
Yeah.
And it just brings you right back into that. Like, oh, this is not like a happy go lucky superhero show.
No, no. So we definitely will get into the moments of her past and all that connection. And yeah, I remember all those. I do have mm-hmm. some memories on those.
Well, do you have any last thoughts on this episode before we wrap it up?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think it's a strong start to a pretty solid season. I do remember, like, I wish I would have finished it. I can't remember why. I think, you know, during that time, there's probably so much coming out. I just mm-hmm. eventually, like, bounced around. But I do remember enjoying this one, and revisiting episode one was fun because it's as dark and gritty as it is, it's still a pretty cool series to get a whole different look at, like, the life of a superhero.
Oh, in definitely.
Hell's Kitchen.
yeah a little bit more, like you said, boots on the ground superhero, not your, like, A-list hanging out in Stark Tower.
And it's not someone that really wants to be a hero, right? Like, you look at Daredevil. Daredevil's like, I mean, you know, they're trying to run their own mm-hmm. law firm and barely making it. How are they going to pay the bills? But Matt Murdock wants to be the hero, you know?
Right.
He wants to save people and do that. And
but he also keeps his identity a secret.
And
he tries so
and
hard.
Jessica, like, especially with episode one, you're just kind of like, all right, so what's her deal? Like, what does she want?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you know, there's something going on. She barely keeps her apartment going.
Mm-hmm.
Does she care about paying rent? Like, it's like, clearly she doesn't care if someone breaks in.
Right.
And part of that's probably because, like, she knows she can take them. So it's like, she lacks that fear, but I don't know.
Well, we'll see if she gets that fear.
Yeah.
So definitely join us next week. We'll be diving into episode 2, and then keep listening in the following weeks because we're getting ready for Ant-Man Quantumania. We're going to rewatch Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp. So get ready for those. We also have another episode of our X-Men movies watch through with X3. I don't even know. Last Stand, right?
Yeah.
So get ready for that gem of a movie. I guess, do you have a question for anyone this week?
Let's go into if you're a fan of just all things Marvel, who's your favorite like street level defender?
I like it.
Would love to know.
So join us next week for more Jessica Jones. We'll see you all then. Later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.